Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we do two things. We go through the Ron DeSantis CBS story and scandal for CBS that Ron DeSantis handled brilliantly. And then we have some exclusive material to cover from Nickelodeon. What your children are learning from one of the largest networks in the country. It's very informative, instructive, and worth sending to your friends that might have no idea what's going on in America with this. If you want to support us and our program, maybe you're saying to yourself, I wish millions of young people could hear this. We'll play a part in that at charliekirk.com/support. If you think to yourself that if only more people could hear this message, well, then make it possible. It helps us spread the message, get more people engaged, get more people aware at charliekirk.com/support. We love hearing from you at freedom@charliekirk.com. DeSantis, Nickelodeon, buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
You guys have heard me talk about Relief Factor before. Relief Factor is terrific. When I take Relief Factor, I feel a lot better. In fact, I'm going to be with the Talbots tomorrow, the CEOs of Relief Factor, the founders, I should say. They do terrific work and they love their country. Relief Factor at relieffactor.com is 100% drug-free. One of the reasons why I'm so happy to partner with them. Relief Factor is affordable. You can get it for less than $1 a day at relieffactor.com. Relief Factor is something that I've seen so many people really benefit from, and I encourage you to check it out. So it's relieffactor.com. Maybe you have knee pain, back pain, hip pain, or joint pain. Check it out at relieffactor.com, a 100% drug-free supplement, relieffactor.com. My friend, the great and late Rush Limbaugh, had a phenomenal way of looking at mainstream news stories. He had two rules. Number one, his first rule is that if the media makes you, the media can break you. Meaning if you were a Republican or a conservative who was a darling of the media, at any time, the media can crush you at moment's notice. And this rule was true in many different ways over the last couple decades. And it's also true on the Democrat side as well. The second rule that Rush used to say quite often is that if they are attacking you relentlessly, using their most prime real estate, their oceanfront property, their 127th floor penthouse in New York, the most valuable media property, you're a threat to them. Over the weekend, 60 Minutes, which is their equivalent of their Malibu beachfront property, or the penthouse overlooking Central Park, the most valuable media real estate on the left. Did they talk about Hunter Biden? The fact that Joe Biden might be implicated in a pay-for-play scheme by the Chinese Communist Party, the current president? Nope. They talk about Gavin Newsom, who's facing a recall threat? Nope. Did they talk about Andrew Cuomo, who's facing accusations from every direction imaginable? Not even close. They talk about how Democrats are trying to stage a fake crisis in Georgia, comparing a very vanilla voting law to Jim Crow 2.0. No. In fact, 60 Minutes has dedicated 0 minutes to Newsom and Andrew Cuomo. And Hunter Biden interview with CBS was easy, soft. No. Instead, 60 Minutes decided to dedicate their most valuable real estate to Ron DeSantis. And as soon as I heard that 60 Minutes was doing a piece on Ron DeSantis, I chuckled. I said, what took you so long? The guy has come out against critical race theory, tech companies, open state, incredible success rate when it comes to the virus, open schools, very popular, the third largest state. Trump won by 400,000 votes, and they had all their votes in by 9:30 Eastern. I said, so we're in April, and you're just now doing a hit piece on Ron DeSantis? You're just now using the media Death Star, which is 60 Minutes, to come after him? And I thought to myself, good luck. There's not a lot there. Ron DeSantis has courage and a high IQ, a very rare combination in today's life. And so the activist media, while ignoring Cuomo and ignoring Newsom on 60 Minutes, which is allegedly supposed to be the gold star of journalism, which is a bunch of rubbish and trash. They're nothing more than a Democrat super PAC with a clicking talk in between commercials. People that hate America that act like they're journalists. They decided that their big story that they were going to unveil against Ron DeSantis is that Ron DeSantis received a $100,000 contribution to his super PAC from someone who is tied to a grocery store chain. And therefore, that absolutely means that Ron DeSantis only chose them as one of many vaccine distribution places because of a $100,000 contribution. That's their big story. And in doing so, they deceptively edited Ron DeSantis's response. They deceptively carved out the truth of the matter. And 60 Minutes is receiving backlash from all people across the country. Even honest journalists on the left are saying that this was ridiculous and that many people on the left are not even coming to their defense. So let's play some of the tape here. Ron DeSantis blasting 60 Minutes, cut 34.
And what we have done has worked. And they didn't want to discuss that. And obviously, they selectively edited the background. They tried to act like there was a conspiracy with Publix, ignoring the fact that other pharmacies were involved before Publix, doing all our long-term care facilities, and ignoring the fact that I met with the county mayor, who's now is a Democrat, who said what 60 Minutes has done is bunk. But Palm Beach calculated 90% of their seniors live within a mile and a half of a Publix. So when we put it in there, their numbers started going through the roof, so it succeeded there.
Ron DeSantis continued in cut 35, hitting 60 Minutes for their representation of this. Cut 35.
But what they didn't tell you also, Tucker, is when there was a need in a more rural part of the county, like near Lake Okeechobee, we set up a separate site in a small town called Pahokee. They didn't tell you that. They didn't tell you that we were doing African-American church vaccination drives before Publix ever gave a single shot. They didn't tell you that. They didn't tell you that hospitals were doing shots starting in the third week of December because it didn't fit the narrative. They don't believe in facts. It was a political narrative. It was done with malicious intent and a reckless disregard for the truth. They would not talk to the people who were most relevant to this because they know those key Democrats, Jared Moskowitz, Mayor Dave Koerner, would blow up their narrative. So they just put their head in the sand and pretended like those facts didn't exist.
Do you hear that, 60 Minutes? You're not dealing with your normal politician that's just going to have some PR spokesperson and run to the hills. No. You're dealing with a courageous person that is actually smarter than you are, that has a higher IQ, that can get on television and recite facts for 45 seconds uninterrupted in a pure flow of consciousness that make you look like fools. If you're going to attack Ron DeSantis, you better have your facts right, and you better not do some kibosh JV seventh grade style journalism where you cut one thing and misrepresent reality. So now Ron DeSantis is playing offense against 60 Minutes. Good, I hope he crushes them. They're dishonest hacks that lie to you for a living. Cut 30, the Democrat mayor comes out and defends Ron DeSantis. That's right, Democrat mayor defending Ron DeSantis. Cut 30.
a lot of people concerned about trust in media because it's way, way down. Did you start to feel the same way after Sunday night?
You know, it was a surreal moment for me because, you know, I had to seek out the producers of 60 Minutes. I was the county mayor. I am the county mayor. I was the one that sat in the meeting. I was the one that asked for public's assistance in this county. And to not have that perspective included, it was sort of a surreal experience. And so I did issue a pretty scathing statement to CBS and 60 Minutes on my own letterhead as the county mayor, not on behalf of the county. But I felt that it was important to have the truth out in the public sphere. So for me, I left this experience really disheartened with 60 Minutes. Mm-hmm.
60 Minutes is supposed to be the gatekeeper of journalism in America, yet they are manipulating you. And Ron DeSantis has handled this perfectly. He gets an A-plus on top of an A-plus because he's already acing the lockdowns, the school openings, the business issues, the riots, the tech issue, the critical race theory. And then they say, okay, we got to take this guy out. Ron DeSantis says, be careful. If you do not have your facts checked off, we are going to have a counteroffensive against you. And 60 Minutes thinks they're dealing with a normal Republican. And 60 Minutes thinks that they're dealing with just the typical Republican who's going to just go to the same talking points, and they are wrong. This is one of the worst pieces of journalism I have ever seen. It's so unbelievably dishonest that only a Democrat super PAC would act like this. Their reputation and their credibility, whatever they had left, is permanently destroyed. When a Republican governor who is a conservative starts to succeed and push back against every lie that we've been told when it comes to reopening, school closures, economic development, critical race theory, does so eloquently, courageously, and is a rising star in the party, the activist media immediately tries to destroy that person. And Ron DeSantis did not take the bait. Ron DeSantis deserves some credit here. Because if you watch the 60 Minutes piece, you realize he did not really want to do this piece. He didn't sit down and allow this elaborate interview. The only opportunity, it looks from what I've seen from the 60 Minutes piece, that he had an opportunity to answer questions when they basically interrupted him at a press conference. Ron DeSantis is a threat to the Democrat Party. Ron DeSantis has overseen secure and safe elections, and previously they were not, an open state, a vibrant state, a multicultural state, a diverse state, a multilingual state, anti-critical race theory, up against the tech companies, no income tax, corporate or personal. It's pretty remarkable. And so the media, they had to make an example of him, and it had the opposite effect. Instead, Ron DeSantis is making an example of them. Let's go to Cut 42. Ron DeSantis pushing back even further. Cut 42.
They cut out everything that showed that their narrative was a piece of horse manure. And it shows you how dishonest. These are smear merchants. That's why nobody trusts corporate media. They are a disaster in what they're doing. I know corporate media thinks that they can just run over people. You ain't running over this governor. I'm punching back.
Man, he is speaking my language. If every Republican had that kind of courage and fortitude, knew their facts and acted properly with clear conviction, imagine the place our country would be in. The Democrats would be on defense. And this is a testing moment right now for Brian Kemp. And Brian Kemp is currently passing the test. Brian Kemp is saying the right things on television. He is not wavering. He's not backing down. That's the right thing to do. Good for him. Georgia elections need to be reformed significantly. When the media is properly confronted, and the term smear merchant is absolutely correct, they go silent. Do you notice how quiet 60 Minutes has been? By the way, 60 Minutes, where is your extended piece on Hunter Biden and Tony Bobulinski? Where's that piece going to be? And I did a podcast of why Hunter Biden is coming and doing this media circuit. And it finally hit me as I was watching Tucker Carlson. Miranda Devine has a new book out called The Laptop from Hell, and it's a picture of Hunter Biden with a cigarette in his mouth without a shirt on, talking all about what's in the laptop. I said, oh, now it makes sense. They're trying to set the record straight and delegitimize the contents of a reputable reporter, Miranda Devine, who's terrific, coming out and exposing the Biden family for what they are. The only way to deal with the activist media is to not treat them like fair and impartial communicators. Instead, they must be treated as what they really are. They're an apparatus of the Democrat National Committee and the Democrat Party. And Ron DeSantis has done this better than anyone that I've seen in recent politics, except maybe Donald Trump. Ron DeSantis is factual. He's clear. He puts them on defense, and they don't really know how to handle it because he's actually smarter than them. He knows his stuff. They don't know about Okeechobee, Publix, Walgreens, CVS, vaccine distribution centers. All that CVS knew and all 60 Minutes knew is that some activist, social justice warrior, critical race theory person said, oh, there must be a racial reason why he's doing this or a corrupt reason. Produce it, cut it, distribute it. Doesn't matter what the facts say. The media is flustered today for good reason. Let's face it, taking trips to the post office is probably not how you want to spend your time. And that's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere from right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com has saved businesses thousands of hours and tons of money. With Stamps.com, you get the services of a post office and UPS all in one place. Stamps.com brings the service of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. Stamps.com is a must-have for any business. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just package to schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. With Stamps.com, you get discounts of up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder why 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com. Stop wasting time going to the post office. Go to Stamps.com instead. Plus, there's no risk. With my promo code Kirk, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Kirk. That's Stamps.com, promo code Kirk. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. So I want to get to the governor of Arkansas, who really, in a strange way, decided to veto a bill that would basically, governor of Arkansas decided to sign a bill siding with the transgender lobby. And we'll get to that. But I want to get to this other story here, which is getting no coverage, of course. Cut 15, a BLM activist. This woman, Maya Eccles, she's a professional model. She works for IMG, which is a major modeling company. And basically, she said that if we don't get our way with the Derek Chauvin trial, we're going to burn down the country. Cut 15.
If George Floyd's murderer is not sentenced, just know that all hell is going to break loose. Don't be surprised when buildings are on fire. Just saying.
How is that not inciting domestic terrorism? Of course it isn't. And isn't it interesting how the last two shootings and incidents, the Capitol Hill attack last week, who was an Islamist with ties to Louis Farrakhan, and the attacker in Colorado, who had ties to, let's just say, pro-fundamentalist Islamic sympathies, we're not talking about those. Now, those are non-issues. And then a BLM-incorporated activist who's employed by one of the largest modeling agencies on the planet, she says we're going to burn down everything if we don't get our way with a trial of your peers, of a jury of your peers. And that story gets very little to no coverage. The George Floyd trial continues. It's hard to say which way it's going to go. Andy McCarthy had a great piece today talking about how there's more evidence to suggest, and we've been saying this for quite some time, that this is not as clear-cut as anyone has said throughout the entire process. It's impossible to know how a jury is going to react, but there's been powerful testimony on both sides. And there's been testimony by some people that have said that the action of Derek Chauvin was permissible. Some people said it was impermissible. We have an entire podcast on the top five lies around the George Floyd death. I want to play a tape here of Cut 31. Minneapolis police chief says that Chauvin's knee seems to be on his shoulder blade, not his neck. Cut 31.
Chief, that from the perspective of Miss Frazier's camera, it appears that Officer Chauvin's knee is on the neck of Mr. Floyd.
Yes.
Would you agree that from the perspective of Officer King's body camera, it appears that Officer Chauvin's knee was more on Mr. Floyd's shoulder blade?
Yes.
Now, why is that important? Well, it's largely important because according to the original toxicology report and the original autopsy, the cause of death was originally stated not to be suffocation. Instead, it was a drug overdose that George Floyd said seven times that he could not breathe before anyone laid a hand on him. He asked to be on the ground. And then he was likely suffering from a drug overdose before that action took place. Now, the broader implications of all this is that that specific emotionally charged moment changed our entire American political discourse, redirected billions of dollars of capital, changed the way we educate our children. So we got an email from one of our listeners here at freedom@charliekirk.com. It says, "Dear Charlie, it's long. I subscribe to you on podcast and Spotify." And it's from Amanda. I'm not going to say her last name, but she says, "Why is no one talking about Nickelodeon?" And it's this whole thing on nickhelps.com. I mean, it's just stunning when you read this. I'm going to try my best to put it here as we're traveling. The setup's a little bit interesting. It says, "We must understand what systemic racism is." This is Nickelodeon teaching your children. They're supposed to create cartoons, okay? Racism is not only individual assumptions, beliefs, or behaviors, but it's a structural part of our lives. It's Nickelodeon. Not Harvard, not Princeton, Nickelodeon. Including laws, public policies, institutional practices, cultural representations, and other norms. That's not true. Just so we're clear, they're taking a controversial, radical position that racism is an institutional issue, not an individual issue. Our program here on the Charlie Kirk Show, we take the traditional belief of what racism is. One person being awful to another person. It exists. It's not widespread. In fact, it's very rare. Nickelodeon continues, "The Conscious Kid, How to Be an Ally. Name whiteness." This is right here on Nickelodeon's website. "Understand what it means to be white and the power and privileges associated with it." Basically teaching children to hate white people. "Take up less space." This is Nickelodeon. "It's important to show support for racial justice without detracting from marginalized voices. Be aware of how much space you take when speaking out, and make sure that black voices and voices of color are being lifted up, heard, and centered." Basically, they're arguing for some strange form of linguistic affirmative action. Continues by saying, "Listen and learn from black people and people of color without asking them to educate you. Your life and social media feed should be full of black and brown voices and perspectives." What an unbelievably racist way to view the world. Skin color matters like this. It's unbelievable. "Always credit the people of color who help you learn. Ask for more black people and people of color in books, TV, and films. Send letters to your favorite shows asking for more representation. Watch and read work done by black people and people of color." Let me stop here. Why is this wrong? They are putting a moral preference on skin color, not on talent, creativity, character, or conduct. Instead of saying ask for better actors, funnier lines, or more clever commentary, they're saying no. Demand skin color differences. That's the difference they're making. That's the point they're making. Nickelodeon continues by saying, by the way, this is a children's network. Be aware of the way inequity and racial injustice shows up in your own life and what you can do to change it. Who are you learning about? What authors are you reading? Who is centered in your curriculum at school? Is your sports team diverse? What artists do you listen to? How might you engage these issues and work to change them? I always laugh because I say, is the NBA diverse? Largely isn't, because it's a meritocracy. But according to them, diversity is everything, not excellence. No, I think excellence matters a lot more than diversity. Next one. Take on the issue of racial justice as your own. The fight belongs to you, not just black people and people of color. Continues. This is written like a college manual for radical revolutionaries. Continues by saying, honor and respect black spaces and spaces of color. Literal segregation. Nickelodeon is advocating for segregation. Spaces for communities of color are often important sources of resilience to inequity. Every situation is different, but it's important to be aware that sometimes the best way to show up is to step back. Producer Connor, can you get George Wallace, his famous quote? You do understand that the white Democrat segregationists made this argument. The white segregationists used to say that black people need their own spaces. Honor and respect black spaces and spaces of color. Wait, so do we need white-only drinking fountains and black-only drinking fountains? Do we need black-only schools and white-only schools? That's what Nickelodeon is advocating. It keeps going. Understand what microaggressions are and how to avoid them. Microaggressions are daily slights and insults to marginalized groups or individuals. Quote, where are you really from? Quote, this is an idea of a microaggression. Your children are learning this in school. I don't see color. That's right. Saying that you don't see color is a microaggression. Growing up, I was taught that if you focus on skin color, you're a racist. Now I'm told that if you don't focus on skin color, I'm a racist. Oh, and the next one is you speak so well. So complimenting someone on their capacity to communicate is a microaggression. Ah, this is amazing. It's so incredible. Respect the bodies and humanity of black people and people of color. This is literally the one statement from Nickelodeon. Do not touch black people's hair. And then they show that they're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. This is Nickelodeon. And it actually makes perfect sense that they've been infiltrated by the critical race theorists. It makes perfect sense because if you're able to teach a generation to care about skin color and create them the most racist generation since Jim Crow when they're 6 years old, then you can remake America in your image. The power dynamics then go in your direction. I was in high school, what year is it? A decade ago. I was a junior in high school a decade ago. I remember it very well. We were preparing for our senior year in football. Just wrapped up a basketball season. Was playing AAU basketball. It was awesome. I was taught by my teachers that segregation was racist. I was taught correctly by my teachers that segregation was racist. I was taught that if you classify people based on their skin color, that you harbor racial prejudice and resentment. So George Wallace was a Dixiecrat, Southern Democrat, who ran for president, won a couple states, actually. And he famously said, in favor of segregation, that we'll have segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. Cut 45.
In the name of the greatest people that have ever trod this earth, I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
Now, George Wallace is commonly referred to as one of the most racist people in modern political history, and that's probably correct. he harbored legitimate feelings of racial stereotype and prejudice. But now Nickelodeon has in their guideline for children that we must honor and respect black spaces and spaces of color. That spaces for communities of color are often important in sources of resilience to inequity. I encourage all of you to go read the scholarship of George Wallace. I don't even want to call it scholarship. It's a mountain of trash, honestly. This is one of the arguments that Strom Thurmond and Southern Democrats used to make. Hey, we got to give black people their own space. That's why we have to keep things separate. Nickelodeon continues by saying every situation is different, but it's important to be aware that sometimes the best way to show up is to step back. Have white-only spaces and black-only spaces. I actually think we should force the Democrats' hand on this issue to break them. I think that we should say, okay, then we're going to have white-only and black-only dormitories, which, by the way, that's what they're doing. But I think we should force the issue and say, you guys want to do this? We're going to publicize it quickly. And George Wallace, the Southern Democrat who ran for president purely on the issue of segregation, might have lost the battle, but he's winning the war. Young children today that watch Nickelodeon and go to college and go to high school, they are taught that we should have spaces segregated on skin color. It's right there in the guidelines of Nickelodeon. And it's not just a radical thing at one of the children's network. At Columbia University, they have black-only graduation. They have Latino-only graduation. It's already manifesting itself at the highest levels of power in our country. Segregation is evil. It's putting a preference on skin color. The dialogue we're having in our country around this right now is so critical for the future of civilization, it's hard to reinforce it. We're on the side of truth. They're on the side of hate and prejudice. We win if we have courage. It's that simple. Thanks so much, everybody. I can honestly say we're probably the only podcast in the country that covered both Ron DeSantis and Nickelodeon in one episode. And that's why we want to thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Hope to see you on the road. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.